I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. This is First Friday, so remember, if you could, go to Mass, possibly use Eucharistic adoration in reparation for sin. This would be a good thing to do. Today I have a special show because I'm going to be talking on three things that I think are very appropriate for Holy Mother of the Church today, and I have my good friend Dr. Ed Mazza with us, I believe. Dr. Ed, are you reporting for duty, sir?
Reporting for duty, sir.
I love it, Ed. Ed, today we're going to talk about an article, Catholics Criticizing Vatican's Long Delay in Releasing the McCarrick Report, former Cardinal McCarrick. And I do this out of charity, really, because we want to see the salvation of souls. And this article is very well done, and we need to have this report come out. So we'll talk about that. Also, three things that the D.C. Archbishop Gregory should have said instead of criticizing President Trump. This is by John Horvat II. Very well done. And then I want to inspire you. Yes, the last segment about what Catholic priests and bishops did during the Irish potato famine. It showed incredible, heroic, humble priests, and that's what we need today. Because think about it, these priests did not regard themselves as heroes. This was all done in the line of duty as a matter of fulfilling what they had sworn to God. This should inspire our church today. So those are the three topics. But as you know, Dr. Ed, we always get some soul food out of the gospel. And the gospel today, I'm going to actually use the second book of Timothy for today's reading. It was the first reading at Mass. And the reason is because it's so appropriate, Dr. Ed, for us today and what we're dealing with. So I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 to 17. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. You have followed my teaching, the way of life, purpose, faith, and patience, love, endurance, persecution, and suffering, such as happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, persecution that I endured. Yet, and this is what St. Paul said, yet from all these things the Lord delivered me. In fact, all who want to live religiously in Christ Jesus, here's the core message, will be persecuted. But wicked people and charlatans will go from bad to worse. Deceivers will be deceived. But you remain, here it is, everybody, remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you learned it, and that from your infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Here comes a powerful statement from the Bible. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that one who belongs to God may be competent, equipped for every good work. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dr. Ed, you know what really got me? Where it says, all who want to live religiously. I do. Everybody does here listening. In Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Ed, when I've never seen a time in my life, I'm 63 years old, and I think of it now, living out my Catholic faith in a culture that acts like God doesn't exist, you will be persecuted. What's your take on that reading, Dr. Ed?
Well, didn't the Lord say,
yep,
yeah, if they have persecuted the master, yep, what are they going to do to the servant?
Same thing.
Is any servant greater than his master? And if they do these things in the green wood, what are they going to do in the dry?
Well said. Well said. So I want people to consider reading that over and dwelling on that. Every day, read God's word. Take the mass readings of the daily readings. They're so good. Now, I'd like to bring the smartest guy into the room. Locomotive train. That's Fulton J. Sheen. And I looked up a quote that I said, how can I get a quote from Fulton Sheen that's going to fit our show when we talk about all the you know, what I call the corruption in the church, and how do we be faithful stewards in dealing with that? Well, why do we do it? Here's Bishop Sheen's quote. If souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls are not saved, nothing is saved. So can you imagine, folks, think about this. Can you imagine a life right now, the last 50 years, where all these Catholic politicians, Pelosi, former Vice President Biden, if they were imbued in their Catholic faith, how would that change America? Well, first of all, Dr. Ed, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Roe versus Wade would have never taken place if Catholic politicians were truly Catholic and they believed in the perennial teachings of the church. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. The enemies counted on the fact that our bishops were going to be weak-kneed in their response. And maybe you used to know the guy who had the biggest, largest abortion clinic in the world.
What was his Bernard name? Nathanson, Dr. Bernard Nathanson. I got arrested
Dr.
with
Bernard
him.
Bernard Nathanson yep. became a pro-life person.
That's right.
Worked tirelessly to correct what he had done.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, very quickly, he says that when he first started NARAL,
yep.
the National Abortion Rights Action League,
that's right. 69.
He said, very much like, you know, Alinsky, mm-hmm. Saul Alinsky, they deliberately said they were going to promote abortion rights by targeting and freezing and singling out the Catholic bishops as the enemies of women's rights.
Yep. You're right. And I can tell you, I was good friends with him. I got arrested back in 1988 at an abortion clinic. And God rest his soul. As a matter of fact, Dr. Ed, every day on our Terry and Jesse show, I like to pray for the dead. This is such a great practice the church has been doing for 1,000 years or more, and that is praying for the dead. And I bring this up because today, like every day in America, here's the tragedy. 38,000 babies die every day. This is why we need to stop abortion. You know, it's crazy. And I will yep. also pray for those who are dying from COVID-19, 824 people. Cancer, 1,670 every day. So let's say a prayer for those. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. For all those who are dying today, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let the perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace, and may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Ed, Dr. Ed, this is something that many Catholics had forgotten in the last 50 years, having masses offered for the deceased members of their family. This is something that really needs to come back. Now, I'm going to set the stage for these topics, and I might go on a little bit. But, folks, it was 1978, just a few months before St. John Paul II was elected pope, that I went to a summer program, the Youth Mission for the Immaculata. For 30 days, I studied intensely church history, apologetics, Christology, Mariology. And that's when I got my red pill. And Dr. Ed, what I mean by the red pill is I thought everybody was fine in the church because I was Catholic. I went to go to daily mass. But I knew something was wrong, but I just didn't have the information. And when I found out about Humanae Vitae and the moral teachings of the church and how right after the council, there were so many people like Richard McCormick and all these guys that decided to change what the church taught as theologians, and there was a real battle going on in the church. I went, wow, let me jump in. I want to defend Jesus and his church. So 42 years later, at 63, I'm still doing it. But I got to tell you, all because of the grace of God. But I really believe, Dr. Ed, it was my consecration to Mary that really pulled me through. Because St. Maximilian Kolbe had three things that he was very big on. One, the Eucharist, Eucharistic Adoration. Fulton Sheen got me going on that with the Holy Hour. Then consecration, devotion to Mary, and our loyalty to the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church. Those were three things that will never change, so I would encourage you that. But let me tell you what I've been through, and then we'll talk about why I am talking about this former Cardinal McCarrick case and how this is really, if this report will come out after 2 years, we've been promised that report would come out, it's going to expose a lot of corruption in the church that we can get out of the church so we can start healing. But here's why I say this. For years, all these things that would happen to me. I would never go to the newspapers and tell them about, oh, woe is me, this is what happened. But when I come back from the break, you're going to hear about a story where a cardinal actually tried to close St. Joseph Communications down because of canon law. And when I tell you what happened, you're going to say, yeah, he was a big bully. Well, yes, he was. And at 5'5", I'm a little guy. But you know what I have? I have faith in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. I went to the top levels of the church to defend myself. And when I come back, you're going to hear a story that no newspapers ever published. Why? Because I didn't think it was appropriate to expose this. But you know why I'm exposing it now? Because we need to put our prayers and our actions in place to try and persuade Holy Mother, the church, to expose this report that they did on McCarrick, because I believe it's going to be healthy for the church to point out who are these bishops that are still in power who are connected with McCarrick so they can be removed and given an opportunity to make reparation for their own sins, because I want to see those guys in heaven also. But I don't want to see them continuing the corruption in the church, and I know you don't, our listener. So we're praying, make reparation prayers, and give graces for our Holy Father, because he's the one who's holding the report. When he says it can come out, it'll come out. But I fear that it might not come out without your prayers and your sacrifices. And when I come back, I'll tell you a story of how a cardinal tried to strong-arm me years ago and how the Vatican came to my rescue. What? Yep, you'll see it. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, my Friday. I'm telling it all Friday with Dr. Ed Mazza. Folks, I tell you this because I want to give you hope in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And we're going to tell you why. Don't turn that dial. You're going to want to hear this story. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
29 years old. 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I love it.
Out there.
Coming up on the next Empowered by the Spirit with Deacon Steve Greco.
This show is one of the most important shows that we've done because it's a focus on the current pandemic, COVID-19. Bishop David is filled with the Holy Spirit, someone who is right in tune with what we need to do to grow spiritually. And I'm so excited to put it on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This is a show that will give us encouragement and will give us hope.
Catch Empowered by the Spirit Fridays after the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I've got Dr. Ed on with me. I gave a little teaser from the last segment about how I was my arm was twisted by a cardinal here in Los Angeles back in the 90s, saying that St. Joseph Communications needs to be turned over to him. And so I went to Rome and got a canon lawyer, Cam Capone, to defend my case. And Father Benedict Rochelle came to my rescue, and others in America and also in Rome. And what happened is I get a call from the Chancery office. Now, this has never been told on Catholic radio. Now, I'm telling this not to say, look at me. No, I'm telling this is because this has to stop. What happened was they called me, and this priest said, I'm in the Chancery office. You don't know me. I'm not going to give you my name. Now, this is not a movie. This actually happened to me, 1998. And the priest says, I'm writing a letter for His Eminence, and this letter is not going to be nice to you, but I just want you to know I personally respect what work you do in evangelization, and but don't realize this letter is not me. It's the cardinal. I said, oh, okay, have a good day. Hang up. The letter comes and says that I need to turn everything over to him. Canon law requires that, so I get an attorney, canon a lawyer, and they send a letter in my behalf to the cardinal saying, what canon are you referring to? And obviously, he isn't. He was strong-arming me. Well, here's the point I'm making, because I don't want to give all the story, but the bottom line is these guys tried to strong-arm me because of the work we're doing as laymen. That's a prime example, Dr. Ed, of what clericalism all is. That's clericalism. He's trying to pressure me because he's the cardinal to do something that is immoral. Sorry, but he did that. Now, why am I bringing these things up? Well, I'm bringing these up because we have corruption in the church, and it needs to be exposed and getting rid of. Now, Dr. Ed, you're a history major, doctor, especially in the last five, you know, in the medieval times. But here's what I want to ask you. This situation that we had with Cardinal McCarrick and all the corruption that's going on in the church, would it be fair to say that back at the Council of Trent, which is like in the 16th century, right after the Reformation, when the church was very weak, that the Council of Trent came out and nailed a job description for bishops and priests because they were doing things like what this cardinal did, things they shouldn't be doing. Is that a fair assessment of our time relating it 500 years ago?
It can be argued that Martin Luther's Protestant Reformation might never have happened and millions of Catholics might never have left the faith if the bishops and higher clergy and even the regular clergy had behaved themselves according to the gospel. And yep. So the Council of Trent was held mm-hmm. between 1545 and 1563. Mm-hmm. And they said, for example, that there is nothing that leads others to piety and to the service of God more than the life and example of those who have dedicated themselves to the divine ministry. Mm. And they said that clerics are called to have the Lord for their portion and are to, by all means, to regulate their life and conduct so that in dress, behavior, speech, they may appear full of piety and avoid even minor offenses, which in them will appear great. Wow. So the Council of Trent said that the bishops and the clergy have to avoid luxury, feastings, dances, gambling, sports, crime, and secular pursuits. And if they don't, they're going to be punished. So basically the church was saying that the clergy and the cardinals and bishops, they got to get their act together, or otherwise the sheep are going to be lost to heresy.
Well, you know, Dr. Ed, there was a book written, I don't know if you read it, back in 1879 by Monsignor George Kelly, and I think you've met him. I've met him many times because I used to record his Catholic Fellowship conferences. And he said this in his book, The Battle for the American Church, where is the church going? Where its leaders take them. And this is why we pray every day for the Holy Father, for our bishops, that they will have a tenacity and courage to do the right thing for Holy Mother, the church. Because sometimes I wonder if we're not praying hard enough and we just say, oh, it doesn't matter. No, it really does matter. And getting back, Dr. Ed, to the Catholics like myself who are criticizing the Vatican's long delay in releasing the McCarrick Report, I'm not only a layman doing this. Father Dwight Longdecker, he declared on Twitter today that he finds it baffling and reprehensible that we still haven't had the report on McCarrick, Mr. McCarrick's crimes. And here's my connection, Dr. Ed, as a layman. I believe that there are bishops right now and cardinals in the church who had connections with McCarrick, and that this report will show and demonstrate that, and that if this report gets out, those gentlemen will not be cardinals and bishops anymore. They will be removed. And I think that's a good thing. But it really relies on Pope Francis to release this document. And I want to fast. I want to pray. I want to ask our Lord to give him the grace to have this come out. Because I want to just mention this, Ed, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that there, as I said, bishops and cardinals right now that had big tie-ins with McCarrick that I even know without the report. And so what I want to ask you, Dr. Ed, is how important is it historically that we don't wait 500 years to see this report and we see it now? That's my question to you.
When the bishops do not act, it leads to apostasy. It leads to heresy. That led to the Albigensian heresy. Millions of Catholics left the Catholic faith. At the time, various pastors were criticizing other pastors for not acting. For example, Blessed Alan of Lille said that they are priests and prophets without reason, teachers of impossibilities, abominable folly which imposes silence upon the prelate and makes our watchdog, that is the shepherd, mute. And even Pope Innocent III, who's a very famous pope, he called the bishops who will not preach the truth or who preach the opposite, he referred to them as dumb dogs.
Wow.
They refused to bark. but you know who is speaking up?
Tell us.
Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano.
Several others. Yep.
And he, 2 years ago, he broke the news about McCarrick.
Yep.
He named names.
Yep.
And, you know, Vigano is not only a very important archbishop within the church, but he was the papal nuncio
for
the United States of America.
That's right.
And he lived and worked in Washington, D.C.
Well said, Dr. Ed. I mean, you answered my question. And this is why I will shift to this other question that comes into the McCarrick case. Archbishop Gregory, who's now the D.C. Archbishop, had you know, big connections with McCarrick. And so I'm just asking. I don't know, but I'm just saying it's a question I have. People like him and others that had connections with McCarrick, how much do these guys know? And the reason I'm bringing it up, Dr. Ed, is LifeSite News has got a petition. It's called Three Things the D.C. Archbishop Gregory Should Have Said Instead of Criticizing President Trump. Well, what are we talking about? Well, his wife, President Trump, and his wife went to the shrine that was set up months ago, that he was going to go there before any of this, you know, took place regarding the shootings and all the things that are going on in our country, to pay his respects to St. John Paul II. You know why he said? It was because of religious freedom. And this is what Pope John Paul II was so great. And that Trump, I believe, is getting inspiration, President Trump, on religious freedom, because he's helping us stand up for our religious freedom. But here's an interesting note when we talk about this. I just saw a picture of former President Clinton in front of a church holding up a Bible and smiling. Same thing that Trump did. And I don't recall anybody, any archbishop or anyone in the church saying, wait a minute, he can't do that. He shouldn't be going to a church. What's he doing? So I just asked the question, Dr. Ed, what's the difference now with President Trump that we didn't have with President Clinton? And I have my answer, but I'm going to ask you very directly. Are you aware that President Clinton did exactly the same thing, Dr. Ed, and no response was made at that time?
It's a complete double standard.
Hypocrisy.
Complete. And that's why Archbishop Vigano felt the need to write a letter to the Catholics of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, out of charity.
Out of charity for souls.
Exactly.
He doesn't hold back here. He says, unfortunately, the Catholic Church is led by many false pastors.
Yep.
He says, over the past 20 years, your Archdiocese of Washington in particular, and now for the third time, has been and continues to be deeply afflicted and wounded by false shepherds.
Ouch.
Whose way of life is full of lies, deceits, lust, and corruption. Archbishop Vigano, tell me what you really think.
Yeah, really? Wow. Dr. Ed, keep going, because this is important. Yeah. What he's doing is he's exposing the pus in the church, and this man is on the run for 2 years for doing that. But I call him my John the Baptist of our day. Continue going.
Do not follow them as they lead you to perdition.
Wow.
Now, let's repeat that.
Yeah, that's
Archbishop
powerful.
Vigano is saying, do not follow these false shepherds, these false pastors, as they will lead you to hell, to damnation.
Yep.
They are mercenaries. They teach and practice falsehood and corruption. Now, again, lest anybody should think that, you know, Archbishop Vigano is off his rocker here, he is speaking the way John the Baptist spoke.
That's right.
The way our blessed Lord spoke. Our Lord upbraided the Pharisees. He called them whitewashed sepulchers, all beautiful on the outside, but inside filled with dead men's bones and corruption. So we have to call things like they are.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the faithful have to pray and fast and do penance and carry out the duties of our state of life because we want to see all of these lost shepherds back in the fold, and we don't want the devil to steal them from God.
And Dr. Ed, that's the whole point of why we expose this. We don't like showing the dirty laundry in the church, but, you know, I've lived 42 years full-time in apostolic work, and I'm tired of seeing my prelates end up dying from AIDS because they were living a homosexual marriage, or, you know, so-called marriage on the side. Yes, this is what's my lifetime. I've seen this. A couple of my bishops in my Archdiocese of Los Angeles in my lifetime have fallen, and it's bad for the church. It's bad for. Can you imagine again if all these people like Hillary, all these politicians here from Kennedy on in the last 50 years really lived their Catholic faith because they saw the heroic teachings of the church and they were convinced and they didn't buy into modernism and watering down the faith? Our world, we would not have the riots going on right now. In my opinion, because holiness would be. Go ahead, Ed. You go ahead.
A quick analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If your immune system becomes compromised,
yes,
then all the diseases are going to kill you. They're going to get you.
You got it.
The Catholic Church in America is the immune system. And what did they do? They canceled. They got the immune system and they weakened us and we fell.
Good analogy. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Dr. Ed's on with us. I'm going to inspire you now when we come back to talk about what happened with the Irish potato famine and how it can show our priests and our church heroic virtue. We'll be back with more on Terry and Jesse.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Before I get you into the Irish potato famine and the heroic teachings of our faith and our priest then, I just want to encourage you to read an article. I want to spend more time on the positive side, but this article, Three Things the D.C. Archbishop Gregory Should Have Said Instead of Criticizing President Trump for Going to Church, read the article. It's on LifeSite News, and I think you'll be inspired by that also, how we're helping our bishops become bishops. And now I want to give you something that, with Dr. Ed, a historian, to talk about this incredible time of the potato famine. And the years, it's interesting years, they were 1845 to 1850, and there's a book that I'm going to talk about that came out that laid it out on what the bishops and the priests were doing and how heroic they were, because the priests didn't regard themselves as heroes at that time. This was all done in the line of duty. It's a matter of fulfilling what they have sworn to do. Now, I know priests today, Dr. Ed, who are laying their life down every day and going out and ministering to people and just doing a great job. I went to Mass in Pomona at St. Joseph's, Father Stephen, great priest. I know he's doing that right now. They had a line of confessions again today after every Mass. When you see a holy priest. But this following article from LifeSite News will illustrate the amazing work the Catholic Church did along a crisis. And it's well documented that this devastating famine hit Europe, was the worst one since the 15th century. We call it the Great Famine in Ireland. Like I said, it was 1845 to 1850. Now, according to this Harvard historian, no other famine in the world was the proportion of the people killed as large as the Irish famines of 1840. I did not know that until I read this article. That's how serious this was. The cause was blight that destroyed the potato crop, a staple food for 3 million of the nation's 8.5 million people, killing 1 million people, are you ready, from starvation and related diseases from that. Now, when the famine struck, the Irish parish priests, though few in number and with minimal resources, they rose to the occasion. They didn't hide behind walls. Here's what they did. According to their identity as spiritual fathers, their heroism was repeatedly recognized by even their political enemies. Dr. Ed, even the British, who don't like the Irish, the British government officially seeking to alleviate the effects of the famine, wrote at the time, right? All Roman Catholic priests are laboring like tigers. Did you hear that? Tigers for us, working day and night. Without them, we could have not moved a stroke. Even a revolutionary movement, the Young Irelands, although bitter about the church's refusal to take side with them, somewhat said this, that the priests had cared for the people of their parish with devotion unsurpassed by the martyrs. Are you kidding me? Dr. Ed, although they did as much as possible to alleviate the famine itself and its associated to the problems in Ireland, they wanted above all their priests to act as priests, to give them Holy Communion, hear their confessions, anoint them at their last hour, and remind them of heaven. This is Father Bernard O'Reilly, who accompanied his patriarchs to exile in North America, on the coffin ships, remarked they wanted the supreme consolation of an Irish Catholic, the last rites of the church. Now, Dr. Ed, reading history, because you're the history muff, can we see a connection that that's what we're looking for in our church today with this pandemic that we're seeing? To have Mass offered, to get the confession, to anoint people who are seriously in danger of dying. Is there a fair connection to that connection of what we're dealing with today that, I mean, was even less than what the potato famine in Ireland is? Give me your takes, your thoughts on that.
Well, these heroic priests from the famine are exemplars for how priests and bishops should act today. Mm-hmm. Listen to this firsthand account
of
Father Hugh Quigley of Killaloe.
Yes.
This is what daily life was like at the height of the famine.
Yeah.
We rise at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
When not obliged to attend a night call, and proceed on horseback a distance from 4 to 7 miles to hold stations of the sacrament of confession for the convenience of the poor country people who flock in thousands to prepare themselves for the death they look to as inevitable. I mean, just take those words in.
I am.
Okay, and see, is that going on today?
No,
and then he says, at these stations, we have to remain up to 5 o'clock p.m., administering both consolation and instruction to the famishing thousands.
Wow.
The confessions are often interrupted by calls to the dying, and generally on our way home, we have to administer the last rites to one or more fever patients.
Wow.
Because diseases broke out, typhoid and influenza, and they didn't have antibiotics back then.
Right.
So arrived home, we have scarcely seated ourselves to a little dinner when we are interrupted by groans and sobs of several persons at the door crying out, I am starving. If you do not help me, I must die. And I wish I was dead. In truth, the priest must either harden his heart against the cry of misery or deprive himself of his usual nourishment to keep victims from falling at his door. And then he concludes by saying, after dinner, or perhaps before it's half over, the priest is again surrounded by several persons, calling on him to come in haste, that their parents or brothers or wives or children are just departing. The priest is again obliged to mount his jaded pony and endeavor to keep pace with the peasant who trots before him as a guide through glen and ravine over precipice to his infected hut.
Wow.
And this gives but a faint idea of the life of a priest here.
Ed, does that just impress you? I mean, then you wonder why my Irish friends tell me, well, I was in Ireland 2 years ago, and they say the faith has gone to secularism. And my Irish friends are saying, we have the strong faith, and we lost it because of materialism and secularism and modernism. Now, Ed, one of the things that took place at that time, I mean, you just gave a great description, but moving constantly amid deadly disease and corpse, these priests took a toll on their vigilant men. From 1847, Ed, to 1852, are you ready for this? 8 bishops died, some of at least from the famine fever. In highly documented, authoritative work of Donald Kerr entitled The Catholic Church and the Famine, this was Columbia Press, 1996, states this, folks. Are you ready? Many priests, religious brothers, and nuns certainly died as a result of the famine. Another historian stated, in 1847, at least 36 priests died of fever, 16 of them during the month of May. 6 priests died in Kerry. Of the 64 priests in the Diocese of Kilmore, 7 died in 1846 and 1847. And at least in County Cork, where my good friends are there, I have friends there, by June of 1847, 5 died of the disease. I'm going to go on, but here's my thought, Dr. Ed. These men laid their lives down for their flock. They imitated Jesus Christ. And I'm not trying to be in management. I'm in sales, so I can't tell the bishops or the priests what to do. But I think these men who died, in my book, are saintly priests because they did what Jesus said. If you love me, right? You'll lay down your life for your fellow man. And this is what these bishops and priests did. And there's more here at the second neck when we get out from the next segment. But Dr. Ed, judging history, this isn't the only time the church has done something like this. We talked about it years back. But what my concern is that we've become weak in our faith. I believe that the reason we're not doing that right now, Ed, is because for 50 years, our faith has been weakened, and our priests and our bishops haven't had good formation. Am I on to something?
You are. I can't argue with you.
Well, here's my bottom line on all this. Of the 100,000 Irish people that sailed to Canada, you know, in 1847, about 1 out of 5 died from disease and malnutrition. The ships bearing the Irish to Canada in 1847 were the authentic coffin ships. Thousands died either on board or upon disembarking at the, you know, island in the middle of the St. Lawrence River in Canada, where at least 5,500 people died. Do you realize that our relatives, many of us listening right now, are connected to that area of 150, 140 years ago, and the faith is being passed on, and now the relatives of these County Cork and the Irish people have lost the faith. But you know what? Let's be honest. It can be bought, it can be found again. But the way it comes back is by Catholics living their faith moment by moment in the state of grace. Yes, and in the presence of God. Because we can turn this around, folks, here in America. I believe we can. Now, people will say, are you kidding me, Terry? Look what's going on in our church. You know why I believe it can happen? Because I believe in miracles, Dr. Ed. I believe that the prayers of our listeners are very powerful. And their sacrifice is being made. I'll never forget what Our Lady said at Fatima, Dr. Ed. More souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices for them. Are we going to continue and just live life as, hey, with Mary, and forget about souls that are going to hell because they're living a debauchery life? Or are we going to get involved in the fight? And I don't mean letter writing. Maybe that's important, too, to let your bishop know. I'm talking about a serious commitment to holiness. Yeah, serious commitment. After this, I'm going back into the Blessed Sacrament this afternoon. I'm going to make my holy hour. I'm going to pray specifically for our leaders in our church that they will find the strength and love of God to really defend the faith and share that faith and give us inspiration to bring back an entire church that has left. Over 250 million people have left the Catholic Church since 1995. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Irish and how they inspired us to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Dr. Ed Mazza and Terry Barber will be right back after a short break. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Pro-life across America, the billboard people.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Dr. Ed Mazza's on with me, and I always like to tell people I'm too blessed to be stressed, I'm too anointed to be disappointed, and if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. And why? Because I have a love for Jesus Christ that's been given to me at baptism and blossomed in my young life. And I might add, there was an Irish priest, Father Chris Tuig, my engineer knows, who was just like the priest in the famine years in Ireland. This man made sacrifices, and I saw him do so many good things for the salvation of souls. He inspired me as a teenager to live deeper in love with Jesus Christ. And so this is why this article is so inspirational, and it should be for you too, because these priests did not regard themselves as heroes. This was all done in the line of duty as a matter of fulfilling what they had sworn to God to do, and they did their ordination. This is what they did. I'm a priest. I'm going to go have and serve God's people, and I'm going to hear confessions, and they did all that. Dr. Ed, even Mark Twain, he described this as moving and calmly amid the terrified people, was describing the Irish priest during the famine and all of the priests through the ages. See, I believe the examples of heroic virtue, the saints, will inspire people because he was brave where all the others were cowards. All right? He used the word cowards. And I'm going to ask right now, Jesse, or Dr. Ed, I believe we've got too many cowards in the church right now. Yeah, because they're saying, oh, hey, I can't get sick. Are you kidding me? Get out there and do what Jesus Christ would do. He's not going to tell you to go wash your hands. He's going to tell you, you need to get to repent and go to confession and receive the mercy of God and receive the graces of the Eucharist. That's what Jesus Christ is asking our priests to do. Now, I sense this because they weren't worried about their self-preservation. You know, they were looking to help people get to heaven. And I think, Dr. Ed, we need more of that now. And the church, over the years, you're the historian, they talk about other times of history where priests and bishops and cardinals and popes stood up for the time and really spoke the truth in charity. Am I on to something here, Dr. Ed?
You know, the whole concept, yeah. Terry.
Tell me.
You know that the whole concept of charity,
yes,
is something that was invented by the Catholic Church. It didn't exist in the ancient world before Jesus established the church and sent out the apostles. Sick people were left to die in the street.
That's right.
And then they got rid of the corpses when the time came. We have historical records of great plagues that affected the Roman Empire,
right,
for example. And what do we learn? We learn from pagan sources how it was Christian bishops and priests who went out and took care of the sick when their own family members had abandoned them for fear of their lives.
That's what it said. Wow. Wow.
And secular historians will point this out.
Yes.
There's a new book out by a guy named Tom Holland,
mm-hmm,
not the guy who plays Spider-Man,
yeah,
but a historian.
Yes.
He's got a book called Dominion, and he's not a believer, but in that book, he says the values that we have today of tolerance and taking care of people, we owe that to Christianity.
Yeah.
We owe that to the Christian movement, to the Christian church. So it would behoove seminarians and even bishops and cardinals to go back and study the annals of the church.
Yes.
And see how fearless their predecessors were. And you know what? And not even just physically, right?
Yes.
We have bishops jumping on President Trump because he visited the shrine of Pope John Paul II.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But when presidents and governors and legislators promote abortion on demand,
they're welcomed.
And they give them Holy Communion?
Yeah. Hypocrisy.
You're kidding me.
Hypocrisy, brother. Doctor,
so we're talking not just about physical death, yeah, but spiritual death.
Absolutely. And Dr. Ed, let me just jump in and finish your thought. One of our listeners just texted me, and my cell number is 661-972-7872. I get about 80 of them, so I can get more. She said this, giving in to materialism and secularism is destroying our faith today. The priests and the people of Ireland lived and died believing in the resurrection and thus knowing that their final finality is heaven, not a comfortable life in this world. She nailed it. And I believe, Ed, in the church today, washing my hands and being worried about lawsuits and all that, that's all temporal. I want to hear the priests and bishops talk about helping my get my soul clean so that I can live in the state of grace and die and get to heaven. That's what their job is, okay? You know whose job it is? Go ahead, Dad. I got off. Go ahead.
Can you imagine, Terry, we've got all these social distancing things with the church,
yeah,
and people shouldn't take communion because they could get sick and all,
yeah,
this. How about people going to communion in the state of mortal sin?
Well said.
Right?
Yes.
Why don't we have restrictions and guidelines about that?
Yes.
But you hear nothing. For 50 years, not a peep.
Absolutely. No, that's a well-said statement, and I think that it's important. We should have more fear of mortal sin than COVID-19. And if we had the energy we were putting in for the COVID-19 and as a church, half the energy to helping people fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ through the sacraments and opening up churches, I think we'd be a much better church. Now, again, I'm not in management. I'm in sales. But I also want to remind our listeners, we have a brand new show following our show at 12 noon, Empowered by the Spirit by Deacon Steve Greco. Folks, listen to him. He's one of those deacons who love Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, deeply, and he's on fire for the faith. Dr. Ed, to wrap it up on this whole potato famine and applying it to our church today, Has our fires gone out, as Bishop Sheen has said? Is that the problem? And can we learn something from the Irish church from the 1850s? That's my question.
We always learn from the martyrs,
mm-hmm,
because the martyrs are those that lay down their lives, and by laying down their lives, they witness the truth of Christ.
Yes.
And we can't sell out to the world.
No.
And unfortunately, in Ireland, the Irish people themselves voted in abortion on demand.
Tragic.
Can you imagine?
Oh, that? Horrible.
That would have been unthinkable even 50 years ago.
That's right.
Or 40 years ago when John Paul II visited there.
Yes.
And I even hear tell that there was actually a snake attack in Ireland.
I read that. Yes,
quite
I did.
Literally.
Yes.
So, but if we pray the way St. Patrick did,
mm-hmm,
against the demons, against,
right,
the witches, against the warlocks,
yes,
against false idolatry,
mm,
and you know, St. Patrick had his issues with the upper clergy.
Yes, he did.
He was persecuted by his superiors, and actually they revealed something that he said in confession, which is punishable by canon law. You're not allowed to do
Absolutely
that. Break the seal of the confessional.
Right.
If we're doing the Lord's work, we're going to face persecution, but we offer up our sufferings for the conversion of those people that are not doing what they should be doing. And ultimately, it's about bringing people back to conversion and back to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And we talked about 2 Timothy today, that all who want to live religiously in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So we will be persecuted for our pro-life positions. We will be persecuted because of our love for Jesus and the Eucharist. our love for the rosary, our love for our Catholic faith. And even, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I was persecuted by, and I use clericalism, by prelates in my own diocese because I was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And I share that because we need on fire bishops. And as a matter of fact, folks, I want to encourage you to get our app because Bishop David O'Connell will be the guest of Deacon Steve Greco today. And he's an on fire bishop. He's a good friend of mine. And these are the kind of bishops that we need to bring back our love for Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. We need holy people because our Second Vatican Council talked about the universal call to holiness, nothing less. And, you know, political, you know, if we're going to put our finger out in the wind, Dr. Ed, and say, which way is it blowing? You know, we'll go with the political, you know, process and we'll just go along with our governor or we'll go along with the mayor. No, we have to go along with what Jesus Christ teaches in season and out. And that's why we talk about the five stones of David as a solution to all the problems of the world. Number one, go to confession often, at least once a month. Now the churches are opening. Get yourself in the box. Why? Because we're all sinners. Number two, read your Bible every day. We just did that on our show every day. Read it because it's God's love letter to you. Number three, visit Jesus in the most blessed sacrament. He's waiting for you. He's real. You want and ask Jesus Christ for more faith every single day. Number four, pray the rosary every single day. What did Our Lady say? It's the peace plan from heaven. And also sacrifice, penance. Make reparation, offer up these little sacks. And I'm not talking just about food or pastry or, you know, what about from complaining? What about from other issues that we know in our personality have defects in? Can we fast from those and offer up for the souls of salvation of souls? Dr. Ed, I'm going to give you the final words. Go ahead, brother.
Our Lady of Fatima asked for penance.
Yep.
Penance, penance, penance.
That's right.
And the children said we have to pray for the Holy Father, and we have to pray for the clergy, and we have to pray for poor sinners, especially those who are most in need of God's mercy.
Amen. And again, I want to encourage you to listen to the new show, which is called Empowered by the Spirit with Deacon Steve Greco. He's going to have a great bishop, Bishop David O'Connell, on, if I understand correctly, and he'll be talking.
If I could put in a shameless plug. Sorry.
Absolutely. Do it, brother. I want you to.
Okay. So every Monday, I've got my show, The Bar of History, from 12 noon to 1 o'clock Pacific time. This Monday, I'm going to have as my special guest, Steve Mosier.
Good.
He's a China expert. He's the head of the Population Research Institute. We're going to get into a lot of fascinating stuff that you need to know about China and the virus and the
Excellent.
Vatican and all kind of stuff.
Excellent.
So folks can catch that.
And Dr. Ed, I know you know the answer to this question. You got a PhD in history, and you also got common sense, and that ain't that common. Question, what state should we be living in, brother?
The state of grace.
Amen. And what state shouldn't we be living in, even for a second?
Mortal sin.
You know what, Ed? I have to tell you, Dr. Ed Mazza, you've got such common sense for a doctor. Oh, no, that's a little low blow to the doctor. No, the reason I say that is a lot of educated people have caused a lot of confusion today, and it's refreshing to hear someone with a PhD who has common sense also in common sense today. You've been listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. I mentioned next show will be by Deacon Steve Greco, Empowered by the Spirits, this brand-new show that we're putting on. And you can do that with our app. If you don't have the Virgin Most Powerful app, go ahead and get it and download it, and you'll be able to hear all of our shows. May God richly bless you, and have a great weekend. Full sheen ahead at Virgin Most Powerful.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh, my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.